This is Disaster Piece, and you're listening to Game Wave.
This is Pete from Automataguchi, and listen to the Game Wave podcast.
This is 8-Bit Weapon.
This is Comptroller.
Hey, what's up? This is Cyberpulse, and you're listening to the Game Wave podcast.
Welcome to GameWave. In this episode of the podcast, you're in for a treat. We've got loads and loads of interviews lined up from the weekend's frivolities at the Superbike Festival.
And the Animaniguchi gig in London. Yeah, I mean, it's been quite a weekend, hasn't it, Steve? We both attended Superbike 2013 in Manchester on the Saturday.
And you went all the way down to London on the Sunday.
Yep, to see Animaniguchi, Cyberpulse, Shiribon. So it's been a weekend of some great live chiptune all across the UK. You know, just talking to everyone, it's really got people hyped about chiptune again in the UK. And I think people look back on this weekend, I really do.
Yeah. I must admit that that's kind of been the reaction from all of the tweets and the Facebook posts that I've seen since Superbike ended. There's some real love of the chiptune scene now in the UK.
Definitely. Well, that's exactly what these kind of events are for. I mean, they're for enjoying the live music and also for kind of kickstarting people's passion for the music. Like, yeah, I've been on Twitter. I've been glued to Twitter ever since Superbike. And, you know, artists have been posting about how much they've been inspired, how they're already working on new music. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's great.
Certainly is.
Yeah, the majority of the interviews that we're going to run on today's show do come from Superbike. But towards the end of the show, we will be having an interview that we're really proud to have got. It's with Pete from Animaniguchi. So stay tuned, because that will be coming up towards the end of episode 65.
Yep, cool.
Also, for old school fans of the Game Wave podcast, coming up next, we've got a report from Mike Cook, because he was also at Superbike, wasn't he? And he went one better than me and you, Steve. He attended on the Friday and the Saturday. So we've got a report from Mike from the Friday night.
Shall we listen to that now?
Yeah, let's run that.
Hello everybody, this is Mike, reporting to you from Superbike Festival 2013 in Manchester. What I've got to say about it is that it's absolutely amazing. I can't believe how many people are here. Apparently, over, I think, 250 tickets were sold, which is pretty unbelievable considering. The place is really full, and it's only, it's not actually the first night, but it's the first main night here in Jabez Clegg in Manchester, as far as I'm aware. It's booming. There's loads of people that have backpacks and all that kind of thing, so they've travelled from all around the country just to be here. People on their own, people in groups, and it's amazing. There's a great atmosphere. The music is just fantastic. I wish you could, all the listeners could be here, but obviously people live abroad and can't make it and stuff, but it's really, really awesome. There's a great sound system that really booms out the bass notes, which is fantastic. I couldn't believe how much bass was coming out of people's Game Boys. It's quite surprising. You can tell that everyone's really excited about Animaniguchi coming to play, which is later on in the evening after midnight, so everyone's sort of anxious for them to get on, but you know, they'll just have to suffer through all of the other amazing chiptune artists before then. But it's not really suffering, obviously. Okay, so I'm gonna go back in and get massively drunk and dance my head off to some chiptunes. It's been a pleasure to record for the Game Wave podcast once again. I know people thought that I might have died or, you know, gone off to, I don't know, gone into hiding. But no, I'm still alive. I'm still here. This has been an absolute pleasure to record. And it's back to you in the studio, Joe.
So thank you very much, Mike, our Friday night correspondent. And by the way, that first track of today's show was by Whiteley, which Mike said was kind of his favourite act of the Friday night. That track was called Veni, Vidi, Vici. Yeah, Mike said it was a lot of fun, and we heard a few stories, didn't we, about what happened on Friday night, Steve?
We did, yes, and I've seen some photos to confirm what happened on Friday night, though I don't think we should go into it too much.
I think we'll leave that as kind of like something of a, I know, a rumour, but it was an interesting evening.
I was talking to Skip Cloud before his set on the Saturday night, and he said that one of the artists had particularly too much to drink and had to go to hospital to be rehydrated. So.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think it was just one, because me and you showed up on the Saturday quite fresh-faced, whereas all the people who'd been there on the Friday night were... They were talking rather slowly, and you might be able to pick that up in some of the interviews that we're going to run on today's show. Everyone was a bit worse for wear on the Saturday, but by the Saturday night, they'd kind of come round again, hadn't they?
Yeah, they had, yeah. Skip was drinking energy drinks with vodka, so he was getting right into his set. But all the music and all the acts were just particularly brilliant. It was you couldn't tell that they were all really tired from the party in the night before.
Exactly. Once they got up on stage, they were right as rain.
Yeah.
And the guy who closed the Saturday night was Harley, wasn't it? Harley Likes Music.
Yes, yes. Really good set from Harley. He was introduced alternatively, not Harley Likes Music. But for the family friendliness of this podcast, I think we'll not mention what it was called.
But, yeah. But you've only just told me about that, because I had to leave early, unfortunately, because I had a busy rest the weekend. Yeah, Mike told me as well. He really enjoyed Harley's set, and I think Harley's inspired Mike to to get his own copy of the Korg DS10 program so that he can write his own tunes on the DS, and I think he wants Harley to teach him as well.
Yeah, I think I saw the conversation on Twitter earlier. Yes, he's inspired, is Mike.
And that's what it's all about, you know. So
absolutely,
it's good. And the next track we've got coming up now is from Harley Likes Music. It's off his latest release, The Sixth Extinction, which is available for free through Pterodactyl Squad. If you haven't got it already, head over to ptesquad.com and download the whole thing for free.
That track was Harley Likes Music from his Sixth Extinction release, and the track was called Unexpected.
Yeah, we met a lot of people at Superbike, people that we've kind of known for a while online and then met for the first time in real life. That was kind of weird, you know, matching names to faces. Did you have that experience?
Well, to be honest, Superbike was the first time I've ever met anybody.
Well, it was the first time we met, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But it was the first time I've ever met anybody that I've known as a friend through online, Twitter or Facebook or whatever. This is the first time I've ever met anybody like that. Everybody that I do know in person has gone onto the internet. so it was kind of a revelation for me and a little bit nervous. So yeah. People are nicer than they look.
To you, did it, Steve?
Sorry?
Nothing happened to you, did it?
No, I wasn't thrown into the back of a van or anything like that. So,
but we also met the guys at Micro Collective.
I've known about them for about maybe 8 or 9 months. I don't know how I managed to follow Sam, who runs Micro Collective. I don't know how I followed him in the first place, but I've been following him for quite some while on Twitter and conversing with him over the time. He's basically built this community, chiptune community, from the ground up. The site is quite good. It includes pixel art. It includes chiptunes, releases, and actually includes a radio station that he's put together, which plays tracks from all of the releases that are on there. It's a good little site and worth checking out. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, it's called Micro Collective, but the website is the letter U, collective.org, isn't it?
He uses the scientific symbol for micro, which is a U, kind of.
Yes, it's quite clever. But no, they seem to be doing some really good work. They actually interviewed a lot of people, including myself, for, I think they're doing an anniversary kind of stream or something, a 24-hour stream on their website.
Yeah, that's right. In October sometime. I can't remember the exact anniversary, but it's their one-year birthday. Last year, they did a few hours of different artists streaming, and this year, Sam initially planned to do a 24-hour live streaming event, and while he was at Superbyte, he recorded a lot of reactions about the day, and he's going to include those in the stream.
Yeah, tune in and you'll be able to see my mug on the internet talking to Sam. But yeah, if you're an artist, you can go on there and upload some of your chip tunes. And if you're a fan, then you can just go on there and listen to them. It seems to be trying to take over from where 8-Bit Collective left off when that site collapsed. Yeah, and I also met Bob, who is from the Gamer Radio Initiative Network. You can find them at gri-network.com. And they seem to be kind of a website that's just geared around providing music and radio shows for people who are into gaming, online gaming, and things like that. So you can check them out as well.
Sort of a similar sort of thing to KNGI type of thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It also includes articles of news and other bits and bobs as well, and quite an extensive photo gallery. So it's well worth checking out.
Yep. Now, coming up next, we have an interview with one of our favourite Swedish chiptuners. And during this interview, he tells me how to correctly pronounce his name, because I've been pronouncing it slightly wrong all these years. It's Nudloaf, which I've been pronouncing as Nerdloaf. We talk about that in the interview, as you'll hear. But yeah, you got to see his set on Saturday night, didn't you, Steve?
I did. It was very, very good. If you imagine a gentleman wearing a mask and has 2 or 3 foot dreadlocks, the music was amazing and the crowd just reacted completely madly. It was brilliant.
Well, I should mention that he is one of the guys who was particularly feeling the effects of the night before on Saturday. So I'm sure he's a lot more energetic than he usually sounds in this interview. But this is me speaking to Nudloaf. How do we pronounce your name properly? I've got a feeling I've been doing it wrong.
It kind of depends if you're aiming to pronounce it with an English accent or if it's like it's my last name. It's my surname.
So how would you say it?
Well, I would say Nudloaf. But I know that a lot of English people struggle pronouncing it, so...
I heard Nordloaf.
Yeah, but because they're all, it's a loaf, like, meatloaf, or
loaf
bread loaf,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe Nordloaf.
Cool. All right. So you're here for Superbike Festival. How many times have you visited the UK?
I think 4 or 5 times I've been here.
Yeah? And do you enjoy being here?
Yeah, love it.
What's it like, I mean, the 8-bit scene compared to Sweden?
I mean, the UK is there's more people here, and obviously there's going to be more people who makes music and organize stuff. Sweden will have like, the population is 9 million. So, well, we still have a couple of shows every now and then, and there has been some clubs, and so I guess it's pretty okay in Sweden, okay. But of course it's better in the UK, yeah. I think.
So you're playing later tonight.
Yeah.
You got anything special planned for your set, or?
I'm gonna play a medley of crowd pleasers, I guess. I always find it quite funny that you can take like, I usually take songs that I really hate, pop songs, and then remaking them to some 8-bit music, and it's like, haha.
Yeah, if the crowd know the song,
yeah,
they get into it.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, do you have any plans? Are you working on any releases at the moment?
I've never been really active at releasing proper stuff. I've always been like compilations, because I feel it's kind of hard to get like you have to have a certain amount of songs that fits together to make an album or an EP. But yeah, I'm working on something that hopefully will be released someday. I know that you never should like announce a date unless you know that you can actually deliver, so I won't promise anything at this point.
Okay, but you're working on it.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay, so there you just heard a track by Nude Love that was Do What You Want, one of his very upbeat Game Boy tunes.
The next interview we've got is with Comptroller. I had a funny incident while at Superbyte. I'd been creating vines all evening, and I'd tweeted, because I seem to recall that Comptroller was basically just the username for Comptroller. So I tweeted Comptroller and said, "Comptroller is awesome," and included the vine, to which the gentleman replied saying, "I am awesome, but you've got the wrong Comptroller. I'm in New York." And I was like, oh, it turns out it was the other Comptroller from Edinburgh, to which Comptroller tweeted me to say how amused he was, and that they have similar names but different duties. But it turns out that the Comptroller in the States is actually a creator of dubstep. I've asked him to link me up, but he hasn't come back to me yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's you weren't too far from the mark. If he was a dubstep artist, I mean, Comptroller's an electronic artist, so you were pretty close.
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse, yes. Yeah.
He could have been like a real Comptroller. But it's good that he replied, and rather speedily. So. Yeah, Comptroller, that's the first time I've seen him live. Obviously, we've played his stuff on the podcast before, but for me, that was one of the highlights of the weekend, really. Really dark-sounding chiptune, isn't it? It really creates an atmosphere. It's not melodic. You couldn't say it's melodic, but it's got a real dark, kind of nasty vibe, and I really enjoyed it.
Mm. Yes. Well, we'll play the interview now, and we'll go into the Stand Up Yukawa track by Comptroller.
So I'm sat here with Comptroller. Tell us the kind of music you make and what you use.
I make, I guess, fairly varied. It's chip music. It's made with old computers, but in terms of actual style or genre, it ranges from like melodic stuff through to really noisy stuff. I mainly use Nintendo Game Boy, Commodore 64. There's a few other random things thrown in, GP2X and Dreamcast occasionally.
Cool. So you were here last night.
I was.
How was it?
It was very good. It was very crazy. There were naked people and dancing, shouting. It was very good. A lot of fun.
Yeah. And you're playing your set tonight. What have you got? Anything planned or?
Covering a lot of ground. Kind of starting out with Squee and ending with like Breakcore. So yeah, it should be fun. I hope it will go down well. We'll see.
Okay, cool. Are you working on anything at the moment? Any releases?
I've got a bunch of tracks that are sort of finished or half finished. I've been trying to decide for a while what to do with them, but I've pretty much decided I'm going to put out probably a 4-track EP. I don't know if I'll try and put it through a label or independently or what, but so kind of trying to tie that up right now.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, we were just talking before about... You're from Edinburgh, aren't you?
Well, originally from Aberdeen, but I live in Edinburgh.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's the kind of chip scene like there?
The chip scene in Edinburgh is basically just gigs that I've booked. Like, I organise Ultrachip, that like annual or semi-annual event. Other one-off shows are usually me as well, working with other guys. In Glasgow, there's an event called 8-Bit Nights that happens there kind of every couple of months or so. It's good. So there are some things happening. Scotland overall, it's quite a healthy scene in Ayr and thereabouts. Guys like King Keitan and Sky Pope and that are from there. But yeah, that's about the size of things as far as Edinburgh.
All right, and finally, like, where can people go to check you out?
They can go to cmptrllr.co.uk. Just Comptroller with all the vowels removed. So that's where they can find my music. So for, I think all free. So yeah, go nuts.
Welcome back. That track was called Stand Up Yukawa by Comptroller.
Yep, and that track was part of a series on the Waveform Generator website. They've been kind of curating a track every week from a different chiptune artist. There's been a variety of artists on there. Comptroller was one of them back in May. That's the track he contributed. And it was actually made on a Dreamcast. So that's probably the first track made on a Dreamcast that we've ever played on this podcast, I would have thought.
I must admit, that's the first one I've heard of. I haven't come across many that have been made on a Dreamcast.
Yeah, I think it was actually made on a sequencer program for the Dreamcast called Otoide, which was only available in Japan. Yeah, one of the best parts of that set was when a kind of Comptroller dropped a sample in one of his tracks, and it was actually from a train that I used to ride when I lived in Japan. It was a genuine announcement that you would hear on a train. So I went up to him after and I said, "Where'd you get that from? I've heard that many times," and he thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, I think he likes to bring a lot of the Japanese influence into his sound and into his aesthetic. A lot of his album covers are very Japanese influenced.
Yeah. Okay. During the day on Saturday, the Retro Computer Museum had furnished the Jabez Clegg suite downstairs with a plethora of different retro computing consoles and computers. There was also some tournaments that were happening, which included Super Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers and something else which I can't remember.
Yeah, what was there? There was Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers. There was a Sonic the Hedgehog one going on all day, wasn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think one guy pretty much won all the tournaments.
I think he did, yeah. It was, I can't remember what his name is, but yeah, he won probably three while I was stood there watching.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of entered the Super Smash Brothers tournament just because they needed someone to fill up the numbers, didn't they? Someone had dropped out. And that was the first time I'd played it in years, so I didn't progress very far. But yeah, it was good. And the winners all won golden SNES controllers, didn't they?
They did, yes. Adrian posted some exclusive pictures on the Superbike Facebook page of him making them and spraying them and things, and they did look rather good.
Yeah, they look really cool. But yeah, I mean, the consoles on offer, it was quite amazing. It really was. They had such a variety. And I revisited consoles I haven't played in years. When I had some time on my own, I was playing on the Sega Master System. I was playing a bit of Sonic the Hedgehog and a game called Basketball Nightmare, which was terrible and was actually a nightmare to play. But there was also things like the Virtual Boy, some really rare consoles that you don't often get the chance to even see. But yeah, you could play them, which was really cool.
Yeah. Ones for me was... there was an Atari 2600.
Yeah.
But it kept playing E.T.
Yeah, you got a bit annoyed, didn't you, by that?
Continuously playing E.T. because that was the one game on those systems that didn't do as well as what the manufacturer expected.
No, but you got a bit annoyed, didn't you, with the music and asked them to turn it off.
Yeah, and then somebody else turned up and put it back on again, so... It was a brief break from E.T. for a while. But yes, the amount of gear that these guys have got is just amazing.
Yeah.
And you can have them come to whatever event you want. They're happy to come.
Yeah, what are they called? Retro Computer Museum, isn't it?
That's it, in Leicestershire. We'll put some information in the show notes, but it's well worth having a look at their site. It is rather good.
Yeah, definitely be a great idea for, I don't know, some kind of party or something. Just get them to show up, drop off a load of consoles, and then you and your mates play video games.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Up next, we've got an interview with Adrian, and he's the gentleman who put Superbike together.
So we're here with Adrian Thompson, and you are kind of the chief of Superbike, aren't you?
I am, yeah, head organizer. Dude.
Yeah. So how's it going this year?
Yeah, ridiculously well, actually. We've sold pretty much triple the tickets of last year. The lineup's been stellar. The pre-party itself was amazing. Last night it was just unbelievable. The atmosphere, the chaos in the main stage was just incredible. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard stories.
I'm shell-shocked, to be honest, how well it's going, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I mean, last year I didn't come. But what's kind of the main difference between...
I think expanding it to more than one day was a really good idea because it's kind of given people the incentive to travel for a lot further. Because if you go in for like, you know, a few days, then you know it's worth kind of, you know, making the effort. So this year we've got people from all over Europe performing, and the lineup's a lot more high profile this year as well. We had a lot of UK based artists and a couple of sort of big headliners, but this year we've lucked out incredibly well that some really good acts from the US have been in the country at the right time, and you know, people have been available, people have been coming out of retirement, and it's all kind of happened at the same time really. So it's it's going to be hard to beat next year, I think.
What are, I mean, have you got anything in mind yet for next year? Or
I've got a few artists I'm thinking of. I'm not confirming any names yet because I've not actually spoken to anyone about it. I think it's going to be see if I survive this year, give myself a few weeks of not thinking about it, and then, you know, start work probably.
Cool. Is what's happening with Megabyte, is that still?
It is, yeah. We don't do it as a monthly club night so much now, as we tend to just do gigs. But what we've been doing is we've been waiting for when sort of guys from Europe and around are on tour. And we did like one with Nordloaf earlier in the year, and we waited for when he was over. And he played like a few shows in the UK because we coordinated with the guys, you know, from Scotland who run 8-Bit Nights and you know, Comptrollers stuff in Edinburgh. And then there was a show in Brighton. So we all kind of networked, and then between us we were able to sort him out a little bit of a tour. And it works out really well because obviously we can split the travel cost of the artist as well, and they get sort of a few guaranteed shows out of it. So it's kind of win-win all around, really. So we're sticking to that for it now. Superbike's kind of taken over our lives a little bit for the past few months. So
I can imagine. Just finally, what's the highlight, or what you're expecting to be the highlight of the whole festival?
I don't know. The hype, I think, and the atmosphere has been the highlight for me. Performance-wise, it was Ultra Sid, because I'm a huge fan of Ultra Sid, and I was so excited when he said that he would play for us. His set was probably the only one I saw in its entirety, actually, but I made sure that I was going to be free for that. But, yeah, just the atmosphere and the hype, and everyone's just, like, getting on, and you know, there's people from all over Europe just hanging out, and it's really nice. Everyone seems to know each other as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you guys know each other when you're from opposite ends of the world, you know? But it's just, the camaraderie is fantastic too, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been, like, meeting people I've known online for years and then met them for the first time today, so it's really cool. All right, thanks. Cool.
Thank you.
The year is 2076. The world as we know it has been taken over by machines, driving humans to the brink of extinction. Earth's salvation is left to a man made half flesh and half robotics. We call him the superhuman.
that was our interview with Adrian, who of course doesn't make music himself, he just puts the festival together. So that track you heard was by Shirobon, who played at Superbite on the Friday night, wasn't it?
No, it was the Saturday night.
Oh, I missed him.
There was some kind of mix-up with the scheduling, I think. So they'd slotted him in on the Saturday night.
But I did then see him on the Sunday night supporting Anima Noguchi, and we'll be talking about that a bit later. But yeah, of course, it wasn't just Adrian. There were many other people that helped put the event on, and they did really well. Everyone was commenting on how well the event was run, basically, weren't they?
They certainly were, and it was. There was a big cheer for Adrian and the guys who put it all together at the end of the night. Everybody showed him some love.
I think he likes to keep a low profile, but he's really good at organising things because he does, you know, Superbike. They've had the Mega Bike Nights, which have been running for a while now. Yeah, really good guy.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to put a lot of the information that we've collected over the weekend onto our Facebook page. So Joe has collected some videos from Invader Baka and Anima Noguchi. We're going to put those on to the Facebook page. I'm going to put a list of all of the vines or share all the vines that I took onto the Facebook page as well, just so that you guys can see them and enjoy them.
Yeah, so if you haven't already, I'd really recommend heading over to facebook.com/GameWavePodcast and give us a like, because I think we're going to start posting some stuff on there that we don't necessarily, you know, put on Twitter. So if you're a fan of the GameWave podcast, head over there and like us. Like Steve said, I've already uploaded a little video that I took from the Anima Noguchi gig. Steve will be putting a list of his vines on there. I did a little interview with Invader Baka, who was one of the visual artists at Superbike over the weekend. He doesn't make music, but he made some really, really cool visuals using a hacked NES. And in the video that I took with him, he tells you exactly how that all works. So anyone who's interested in the visual side of things, then go over to our Facebook page and you'll be able to see my video with Invader Baka. And you can also see a photo. You can see what me, Steve and Mike look like. We took a commemorative photo and it's been getting quite a few likes on there. So
yeah. much to my amusement. I don't know why I'm stood in a pirate pose. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we were saying, weren't we, before we started the show tonight, Mike was trying to get you to dance all night, but I don't think he managed it in the end, did he?
He did not, no. No. He said next year I'll get you to dance. And I said, I'm sure hell will have frozen over by then.
But Mike was in the mood, man. He was very merry on the Saturday night. So.
He certainly was. I think he had a little help to get merry, but yes, he was throwing some shapes all evening.
Yeah, cool. All right, coming up now, we've got an interview with Ultrasid, who was on the last show, but you know, we thought we might as well, while he's there, let's have another chat with him. He was a bit worried because he said his English wasn't good enough, but it's absolutely fine. And his music is even better, to be honest. Like, the sounds he gets out of an Atari is amazing. The track we're going to play after this interview is all pure Atari, which, once you've heard it, you might find that quite hard to believe. But yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, you like Ultrasid, don't you, Steve?
Oh, very much so, yes.
Yeah, it's a shame we both missed his set on the Friday night, but as Adrian said, he said it was great. So here's my chat with Ultrasid.
You were on episode 64 of the GameWave podcast. Thanks for taking part. Do you often visit England?
No, it's my first time in England.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I played in Scotland at Ultra Chip. It was in May, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, my second time in the UK.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you like it here?
I like it, yeah. The events are great, but I didn't get the opportunity to visit yet.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but I like it so far, yeah.
So you need to do some sightseeing.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Yeah, so do you have any, are you working on any releases or anything at the moment?
No, nothing, no. Well,
I'm a bit ashamed because I never released anything. I make music when I got time, and I put it as MP3 on 8-bit collective at the beginning, and now SoundCloud
yeah.
Or chipmusic.org, and that's all. I would like to make a real album, but well, I don't know. Okay. I like it this way.
How did the set go yesterday?
It's a great venue. The organizers did a great job, and the audience was lovely, dancing, and one of my best shows so far, really. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome back. That was Drop the Crap by Ultracid. Now Joe, tell us about the Anamanaguchi concert on the Sunday evening.
Yeah, so we've kind of finished with Superbike now, and we're moving on to the Sunday night, I travelled down to the Garage in London, and I was lucky enough to see a gig which included Anna Maniguchi, Sabre Pulse, Shirabon, as well as some other acts. It was just a really great night. It's been a while since Anna Maniguchi played a show in the UK. You know, long-time listeners of the show will be very familiar with Anna Maniguchi's troubles coming over to the UK. The first time they came over, my old band, Spheres of Chaos, played with them. I put on a show for them in Sheffield. And then, basically, that was the last show they played. And they were deported because they hadn't come with the right work visas. And then, to everyone's amazement, the same thing happened again when they tried to come back to the UK the next time. They got deported again. So that's why Pete was kind of really relieved to be over this time with the correct visa and completely legal and able to play some shows in the UK. Yeah, the gig itself, absolutely amazing. The crowd were going wild for Shirabon. You know, his set was really good. The bass he managed to pump through the speakers. Honestly, things like the walls were shaking and the crowd were loving it. Sabre Pulse came on, absolutely blew everyone away, started some mosh pits. Things were getting pretty violent, actually, during Sabre Pulse's set. And then Anna Maniguchi came on, and the crowd just went mental. It's crazy the amount of love those guys are getting. They're the biggest 8-bit act in the world right now. You know, their latest album, Endless Fantasy, I think it went in at number one on the Heatseekers chart in America. They raised $250,000 on Kickstarter. You know, it's just, I'm really happy for them. And yeah, this is my interview, a short interview with Pete that I grabbed before the gig. So, here with Pete from Anna Maniguchi.
Finally!
How are you?
Dude, I'm doing great. It's awesome to be here, man.
Is this your first show in London?
Yes, it's the first time I've actually been in London.
So you've only ever played obscure places
in London? Well, we played Glasgow, we played...
Sheffield,
right. That's right. Right, we were going... Derby was going to be next, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Sheffield,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah, well, we played Manchester two nights ago, and then... Last night was Southsea for like Southsea Festival, I guess, which, you know, I guess
that's obscure.
Also potentially counts as obscure.
I've never been there.
Yeah. But no, dude, it's incredible to be here in London, finally.
What do you think? What do you think of London? Is it all you thought it would be?
Dude, honestly, nothing prepared me for what it was. Like,
really?
It's crazy. It's cool because, like, you know, I do love, like, British movies and British TV shows and all that stuff. And, like, you know, I watch all this stuff that takes place in London. And I'm just like... Cool, I think I get an idea of what it's like, but, you know, you have no idea what it's really like until you're here and you see the color palette and, like...
What gray?
Yeah, a bit of the gray, yeah, and, like, some of the, like, light blues that are, like, around on everything. And just, like, all the pubs and, like, it's the tiny waving streets, you know. It's so cool, man. Nothing could have prepared me for it. It's so different from New York. It's as different as it could be, you know.
Well, we'd get it in New York if we went, I'm sure. If a British person went to New York, we'd be the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. Well, I got that in LA when I...
Oh, LA is insane itself, yeah. But, no, yeah, it's such a unique city. Like, you know, we've been to Paris, we've been to Amsterdam, but, like, London itself is, like, there's something that seems, like, old about it, you know. It's cool.
Yeah. How are the fans in England?
Dude, yeah, I've been, I haven't taken so many pictures, like, ever. Like, I just walked out there and people are like, oh, like, can we get a photo? Yeah, so, yeah, it's been great.
Okay, and what are you working on at the moment apart from the tour?
Well, you know, we're always working on new music all the time. Yeah, so we're doing a lot of that right now, like experimenting with new sounds and have some kind of secret projects in the works. And then other than that, it's, you know, finishing up the end of like the Kickstarter campaign, like getting everything out and then doing all like some more music videos and stuff like that. You know, that's pretty much where we're at. We're like in full force.
Flow.
That's much better. Yeah, full flow.
Yeah. Cool. Could we just get... This is Pete from Anna Maniguchi and you're listening to the game.
Yeah. This is Pete from Anna Maniguchi. Sorry. I'll do that again.
We can't use that one.
Of course, it's cursing. Yeah. This is Pete from Onomatoguchi, and listen to the Game Wave podcast, and it's in London, where I am right now, and we made it this time. And you can watch an interview with us online with Joe, where we didn't make it, but this time we made it.
That track was Akira by Anamanaguchi.
Yep, and that is off Endless Fantasy, the album they released back in May. It's been doing really well. Like I said, it went in at number one in the Billboard Heatseekers chart, and I think it went in at number two in like the chart for dance albums, which is just absolutely crazy. There's some tracks on there produced by Saber Pulse, and the whole thing, it's 76 minutes long, so you're really getting bang for your buck if you buy that album. You know, if you're into chiptune, get that album. It's one of the defining albums of the genre. And that track, Akira, I wanted to play that just because I love the movie Akira, which I assume that's what the title came from. What, have you seen Akira, Steve?
Oh, yes, I remember Akira.
You remember it?
Yes. I remember it being released in... Actually, I went to the cinema to see the big screen edition.
What, when it first came out?
Yeah. it was must have been early 90s when it came over to the UK. Phenomenal movie, brilliant soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great. Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, I studied Japanese at university, and even with a Japanese degree, and I think I've watched the movie 3 times, and I'm only just starting to really understand what's going on. Such a complex movie, obviously based on a very complex manga. But yeah, I love it. I mean, that to me is Japan. Like, when I'm in Tokyo, that's kind of what I associate with Tokyo. That movie really does it for me, yeah.
Yeah.
But interestingly, the first time I saw that movie was actually with a Japanese friend, and we kind of walked out the cinema, and I said to him, I said, so did you have a clue what was going on? And he was like, not really. So maybe it's not just foreign people that don't understand it.
Yeah. I think the movie differs quite a lot from the original manga. I've read that, and that's... It is complex, but there is an overlying story there. And the movie is very, very similar, but slight changes. The best bit for me is the bit at the beginning with the motorcycle chase through the city. It's just unbelievable.
Well, the animation was groundbreaking, wasn't it, for its time?
Yeah.
Really raised the bar. But one thing that's really interesting to me, and I don't know if you're aware of this, Steve, but obviously the film is set in Neo Tokyo in the year 2020. And do you remember, it was in the news a few days ago, where the 2020 Olympics are going to be held?
They're going to be held in Tokyo.
Yeah. So it's just phenomenal to me that the movie or the manga predicted that. It's a story about how Tokyo has become kind of, it's just outgrown itself in preparation for the Olympics, and it looks like the Olympics will actually be heading to Tokyo in 2020. That's just funny to me.
Yes, I'm sure the internet will find that quite amusing as well.
Yep, and if you didn't manage to catch Animaniguchi this time on their visit to the UK, they are coming back in the near future. They're coming back in the early part of February next year. They've got dates confirmed in Manchester and London, and there's the possibility of more dates to come. So, yeah, keep your ears to the ground and get your tickets early, because that last show did sell out. The venue was packed, but they will be coming back next year.
Excellent. I'll see you there. Now, if you missed any of the fun activities of the Superbike Festival, if you head over to the SceneSat website, you can listen to both the audio and watch the video of all the acts that performed there. That's available for free on the SceneSat archive. They have a feature there where you can listen, and they've nicely put it together so that you can jump to a specific artist as well if you want. If you just wanted to watch the Shirobon set on the Saturday night, no problem. Just head over there.
Yeah, they did a great job of running the whole stream. We had a lot of fun, didn't we? Waving at the camera and then watching ourselves on our phones, being very childish.
Yeah, yes. And I must admit, because I wasn't there on the Friday night, I spent a little time tuned into the video stream on the Friday to catch a couple of the acts. It's a good quality stream.
Yeah, the audio quality especially.
Yeah. So head on over to the SceneSat website. Give them some love.
Cool. So we're coming towards the end of this absolute mammoth of a podcast episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. And if you weren't able to attend Superbike over the weekend, we've kind of helped convey a bit of the fun that everyone had. I can't wait for next year already.
I'm sure it will happen, and as Adrian has said in the interview, there's going to be some phenomenal acts, and it's going to be another amazing Superbike.
Yeah, that's right. We mentioned Invader Backer earlier, and I was following him on Twitter, and he said, Superbike is beyond words. It's like Blipfest broke up with the US and moved to England and changed its name. Which I thought was a cool way of putting it. Because, you know, the Blipfest has stopped now. as we all know. And it'd be really cool if Superbike takes over and, you know, really becomes the biggest 8-bit festival in the world. I honestly think it's got the potential to do that after this weekend.
Mm, absolutely. Though I think we may need a bigger venue next year.
Yeah. But that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, yeah, it's only going to grow in popularity.
Yeah.
And speaking of Twitter, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me. I'm at Joe Gamewave. I think Twitter, if you're into chiptune, it's just an amazing thing. All the artists are constantly interacting with each other and their fans, so get involved. And what about yourself, Steve?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter as at S Butterworth. Follow me on Twitter and I'll say hi and spout a lot of garbage at you, like I usually do.
Yeah, yours and Mike's conversations keep me entertained.
Yes, absolutely. But I do tweet a lot during the day. I listen to a lot of music, and I usually tweet some really good finds during the day.
Yeah.
So come and give me a follow, and I'll entertain you.
And as we said earlier, if you haven't already liked our Facebook page, please do. And we'd like to ask the listeners for a bit of a favour this show. You know, me and Steve have put a lot of effort into getting all the interviews recorded and putting the show out. If you did enjoy it, then we'd really appreciate it if you, you know, shared the episode on Facebook or invited your friends to like the GameWave podcast Facebook page or retweeted us, something like that. You know, help spread the GameWave love. We'd really appreciate that.
Yep. There's one track left to play, and that's Level Up by 8-Bit Weapon. Thanks for listening.
Yep. See you guys later.